right, so this morning, I want us to think about what's going on in our world. Now, we know there's a lot happening. All you have to do is turn on the radio or TV to know that there's a lot going on. All you have to do is maybe drive by a gas station to know what's going on. Or going to HEB to know what's going on. But you know, we have power even with things going on. And that power lies in prayer. Now, I want to talk about a specific type of prayer. Now, the title of this morning's message is going to be The Power of Aligned Prayer. Yes. The Power of Aligned Prayer. And for those of you who are able to stand, could you stand as we go to the Word of God for the reading of His Word? Our scripture is going to be coming from the book of Acts, the 12th chapter. And this reading will be coming from the New Living Translation of the Bible. If you have it, say amen. Amen. All right, if you don't, say, give me a second. Now remember, a second, it might be 2 or 3 seconds. All right, so we are going to start off with verse 1 in Acts 12, and it reads, "About that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of 4 squads of soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed earnestly for him. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with chains between 2 soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, 'Quick, get up.' And the chains fell off his wrist. Then the angel told him, 'Get dressed and put on your sandals.' And he did. 'Now put on your coat and follow me,' the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell following the angel, but all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the 1st and 2nd guard post and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street. And then the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. 'It's really true,' he said. 'The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me.' When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, 'Peter is standing at the door.' May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of God." Amen. So, everyone, the early church went through a lot. They went through persecution. They went through trouble. They had a lot of things going on, which would have discouraged a lot of people. But let me tell you, God was working the plan out. So again, good morning, one and all. And I see another one of my students in here also. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I see Howard back there. He's my little spark plug in my classroom. Amen. So I want to welcome them all too. All right. So I want us to think about this morning about the power of alignment in prayer. Okay. When we think about the term alignment or the word alignment, one of the definitions is a state of agreement or cooperation among persons, groups, nations, etc., with a common viewpoint. In the book of Acts, which was penned by Luke, we see in the 12th chapter a significant chain of events that are taking place. We see where the church had been growing in previous chapters. However, the church was facing opposition. They were facing trouble. So with this opposition and growing turmoil that was going on, let's think about this little bit of background on this. Now, when we talk about Herod Agrippa, this was Herod Agrippa I. Now, with him, Herod Agrippa wanted to please not only the Roman government who set him up in power, he also, similar to a lot of politicians today, he wanted to please one group while trying to hurt another group. Are y'all following me? So he wanted to do that. Now, Agrippa was the son of Aristobulus and the grandson of Herod the Great. For the Bible readers, his sister was Herodias. Now, you guys remember Herodias? Herodias, who had been responsible for the death of John the Baptist. Agrippa the First, yes, he was part Jewish and appointed by Rome. When we think about him and what was going on, he wanted to do something to get a certain crowd happy. And he saw when he had James put to death, he saw, oh, that pleased him. And don't you know sometimes people in power, when they see something like that, they go, ooh, well, maybe, hold on, you guys like that? Let me do this over here. All right. So we're going to have, it's basically 4 points with this message today. The first one is earnest church prayer. The second point is heavenly response. The third is reality of the moment. And the fourth is response to the moment, then and now. When we think about earnest church prayer, my fellow believers, in this chapter, we can see and visualize the stressful times that were going on. And there was fear. The early church, their leaders were being persecuted. Their leaders were being put in jail. But let me tell you something. The early church, they didn't come apart. What did they do? They prayed. They prayed more. They didn't say, oh, I don't like this. Let's get weapons. Let's go toe-to-toe with the Romans. No, they prayed. They prayed about the situation. They met and they prayed about what was going on. When we think about the things that were happening here, there was a lot of suffering that was going on. And as they were praying, God was working. Now, let's think about what was going on. Peter was put in jail. Peter was placed at a point where, hey, you are not going to be able to leave. They had him chained between two soldiers. Now, the chains they had were not like the little handcuffs that law enforcement uses now. If a Roman soldier from then would look at some of the handcuffs that we use now, they would laugh and say, oh, that's piddly. We're talking chains. He was bound between the two. But yes, prayer was made for Peter. Prayer was made for him in this situation. And this prayer was a deep and fervent prayer. This was an earnest prayer. This was a prayer where everyone was on one accord. Everyone had one thing in mind with their prayer, praying for Peter with this situation. It wasn't a get Herod Agrippa. God, get him. This was a prayer for Peter's safety, for Peter's deliverance. Now, when we talk about a line prayer, when our prayer matches up with God and God's will, watch and see what happens. When your prayer lines up with God, watch and see what happens. One thing I want to encourage everyone in here to do, I know some of you already do it, but have a prayer journal. Write down your prayers. Yes, you can pray, you can speak the prayer, but write down your prayers. Write down the dates. And it's so important to have a prayer journal, because as life goes on, you can look back at that journal and you can see what you prayed for, but you can also see how God worked that thing out. You can also see how God worked in that situation. It was God working it out, not you. I don't care how many degrees you may have. I don't care what powerful position you may have in life. It's God that worked it out. So when we think about this, this was a prayer of supplication. They were praying for Peter. Now, a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the different types of prayer. But this was a prayer that moved heaven. And you see in our next point, the heavenly response. Now, this heavenly response, this is dealing with verses 6 through 10. God sent an angel, a divine messenger, to deliver Peter out of prison. The response was to a fervent prayer and petition by the church, a prayer that aligned with the will of God. It aligned with God's will. And watch what happened. Now, angels. Angels are supernatural created beings. Yes, servants of the Most High God. My brothers and sisters in here, we are also servants of the Most High God. We have a job to do too. One of our jobs to do is prayer. Praying for our country, praying for our city, praying for the families, praying for everything that's going on. So when we talk about this, we know that God is still today, he's still in the miracle business. Now, granted, when you look at what went on with Peter, a lot of people say, man, that was a big miracle. Does God still work miracles today? Yes. God, a miracle, I'm going to put it to you like this. A miracle is plain and simple, God at work. That's God at work. So when you have had a miracle and the doctor says, well, the cancer was here, but it's gone. Praise God. That's God at work. So as we know, God moves in many different ways then and now. We must believe, trust, and rely on him every day. Praise him. Call on him, not just when things are going bad, but when things are going good. So often in our society, we are in what I call a fire alarm society. Many people, they think of prayer as, remember the old school fire alarm that they used to have in school buildings? They'd have that little piece of glass and a little hammer and a little chain on it. you know, break in the case of emergency. That's what some people's view of prayer is. Oh, I need to break the glass. Let me hit the prayer button. No, we should be praying to God at all times, praying for others, praying for ourselves, praying for our family, praying for our children. We should be praying for him. And let me tell you, my fellow believers, in fact, the same God that responded to the early church is the same God that will respond for us now. It's the same God that can send what I call a heavenly emergency response team to your aid. You may be bound up with fear. You may be bound up with uncertainty. You may be bound up with doubt. You may have anxiety. But always keep this in mind. God can and God will. Pray to the Lord in the name of Jesus over that situation. Pray to the Lord about that situation. Give it to God. When you get a blessing, praise God. When you get a blessing also, be a blessing to someone else. Be a blessing to someone else. Reach out to help someone else. Be that blessing. Now let's look at this next point. The reality of the moment. And we have to go back to these particular verses. Peter finally came to his senses. You guys, Peter, he was probably very tired. He had been through so much. And when the angel struck him, he said, wake up. You know, Peter still probably had a lot of crust in his eyes, a little sleep. Yeah, you know, you've been sleeping hard and you can't move. But Peter's thinking, okay, this is a vision. Peter knows that God is great. Peter knows that God will deliver him. But Peter's thinking, okay, hold on, this is a vision. So Peter came to his senses. And then after, he said, it's really true. He said, the Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from the Jewish leaders, planned what they had planned to do to me. When he realized this, he went to Mary, the mother of John Mark, who is the author of the book of Mark, where many were gathered in prayer. Now, y'all, they were not gathered, oh, hey, let's get our goods, let's get our bags, let's get our escape plan, let's get our passports ready, and oh, hey, you got some bread over there? Let's put it in this bag so we can head out. They were in prayer. They were in specific aligned prayer. And so as he knocked at the door in the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's, listen, y'all, when she recognized Peter's voice, when she recognized his voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back instead and told everyone, Peter is standing at the door. She was excited because she knew what everyone was praying about. She knew how people were feeling. She knew what the church was going through. So let's think about what Agrippa had in mind. So the execution of Peter was delayed due to Jewish law about not to have a trial or sentencing during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, also known as Passover. Beloved, this was in fact, Peter had a miraculous escape with the help of an angel of the Lord who opened the gates of the prison. Peter, this wasn't his first escape. Now, I want you all to write this down. Go back to Acts 5:19. Peter had the heavenly emergency response team help him before. Now, I'm saying heavenly emergency response team because when we are facing issues, crisis, it's an emergency to us. But when we pray and it aligns up to God, God says, okay, I'll handle that. I have a team for it. All right. So when we think about this, the squads worked for 3 hours. Now, there was a group of these soldiers. Peter's wrists were chained and had a soldier on each side. So Peter thought he was dreaming when the angel struck him. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this. I'm going to put it in Willie Bolden terminology if the angel woke me up. Hey, get up, get dressed, get your shoes on, and roll out. It's time to roll out of this prison. It's time for you to roll out and go to your fellow brothers and sisters. Peter thought it was a dream until he was free. In life, we go through our rough moments, perhaps losing sight or not realizing what's going on. The reality was that Peter was going to face execution, but God stepped in. God stepped into the situation. We who believe in Jesus, who are guided and instructed by the Holy Spirit, should remember God is in control. Remember that no matter what you're going through, God is in control. Yes, even in our dark, rough times, we are too, as my brother mentioned in prayer, we are to cast our cares on the Lord, for he cares for us, 1 Peter 5 and 7. Peter realized it was not a dream. My fellow believers, that is a praise God moment. That is a hallelujah moment when God brings you out of something. Say hallelujah. When God brings you out of something, share it with somebody. When God does something for you, let someone else know. That's how we give God glory. When God has delivered you from a health situation, praise God. Praise with the nurses. Praise with the doctors. Praising as you're going down the hallway to the elevator. Let people know what God has done for you. Let people know who God is. Let people know what he's done. Now let's think about this point. The response to the moment, then and now. As I said before, church, there's a lot of things going on in our world today. We know there's wars, rumors of wars. Our Lord and Savior told us that we would have these things. We know that there are gas prices. We know that there are a lot of unspeakable acts that go on. This should not be a surprise to us if we are believers. But we know we have help in this situation. We know where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who can deal with any situation. Church, the question is not just what happened then, but how do we respond now? How are we responding with trouble? How are we responding when we hear news of this, news of that, higher prices, news of potential conflicts, news of even conflicts in our homes and schools? We live in a day and age where it's become almost commonplace to hear about school shootings. As a teacher, as an educator, we have to have drills for lockdown. We have to have drills for shelter in place. You know, it used to be all just a fire drill. Now you have to have active shooter drills in school. So it is praying time right now. And let's get back to this. When Peter was in trouble, the church, as I said before, didn't panic. They prayed. They didn't run about. They prayed. They met and they prayed. And when we think about this, something that's even more powerful, when God answered, I want you all to read the rest of this chapter. When Rhoda went back to tell the brothers and sisters, everyone was kind of like, what? And then they thought about it. Maybe that's Peter's angel. But then when they came to the door, they were surprised. Brothers and sisters, when God works out a miracle, don't be surprised. Praise God. Say, that's God at work. Say, that's my God at work. I knew God would do it. I know what he can do. And when we think about this, let's think about alignment. Alignment is not just saying words just to be saying words. Alignment is not saying words just because they sound good, or just as some of the old school preachers used to hum with it and say, hey, trust in the Lord. Give God all the praise. Alignment is when we're matching up with God's will. Alignment is when we are doing what God wants us to do. We must also think about this. When God moves, we have to recognize it, and we have to respond before he moves in faith. We have to be responding in faith even when we're facing, you may be facing surgery. Respond in faith. Go to God in prayer. Pray with your doctors. Pray with the anesthesiologist before they give you the anesthesia. Ask them, would they mind praying with you? Pray before the situation. Have faith and watch what God will do. And when we see, and I just want us to deal with this. We must give God the glory in every moment. Give him the glory before you go through the battle. Give God the glory when the enemy's coming at you. Give God the glory. Because aligned prayer still has power in 2026. Aligned prayer has power no matter who is in charge. Aligned prayer has power. Aligned prayer is still breaking chains. Aligned prayer is still opening doors. And it is still bringing about a heavenly response. Church, we should all shout with that, because it's still bringing about that response. No matter what you may be going through, you may have just been told you lost your job. Take it to God in prayer. A little personal experience. I have had it where I was on a job. I thought everything was good. I thought everything was fine. And suddenly there was a new change in leadership, and they came in and they cleared out the whole department, including me. Now, I didn't know it was coming. My director didn't know it was coming. But what I did, yes, I was upset. But when I got in my vehicle, I just started praying. I just said, Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, I don't know what to do, but you know what to do. Trust God. And when one door closed, God opened another door. Take it to God in prayer. Take it to God in prayer. Our Lord and Savior showed us about alignment in prayer. Let's think about the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26:39. Jesus was praying earnestly. Now, Jesus was both God and man. The human side of Jesus knew what was coming, but he was praying and praying to God. And he said with this, but not my will be done, but thy will be done. He submitted to God. Give it to God. As we end, I want you all to understand there are different forms of prayer. Yes, there's a prayer of adoration. There's a prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of intercession, a prayer of petition and supplication. But the key with aligned prayer with these, pray for the things what the word says. The word says we should pray for our leaders. Even if you didn't vote for the president, pray for the president. Pray for the president. Even if you didn't vote for the mayor, pray for the mayor. Pray for our leaders. The word says pray for the salvation of the lost. Pray for those who don't know the Lord. Pray for those who are in darkness. Pray for those who may be going down the wrong road. Pray for them. But also, you have to get busy. You have to get busy working too. Pray with the right mindset, also known as your motivation. So many people in our world today are all caught up on, oh, I want this, I want that. I want this house, I want that. Pray with the right motivation. When your motivation matches up with the word of God,
When your motivation matches up with God, watch what happens. Pray with the right motivation. Pray with the spirit of forgiveness. This is powerful. If someone has done you wrong, let it go. Give it to God. Because that lack of forgiveness will be a hindrance to your prayer. Husbands, it says in the word, for us to love our wives and treat our wives as Christ loved the church. Because we don't want our prayers to be hindered. Have that right frame of mind. But most of all, as I close, go to God in prayer. Stay in His word. If you don't know His word, get with a believing church. Ask someone who can guide you with it. If you need prayer, go to a fellow brother or sister in prayer. Ask them to help you, to pray for you, to stand in the gap for you. And most of all, listen to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is letting you know, hey, I need you to go and pray with this brother or sister. You may not know him. Pray with them. Be obedient to the Lord. As we close right now, if anyone does not know the Lord, don't let another day pass without you getting to know the Lord. The prayer of alignment still works today. It worked over 2,000 years ago, and it works today. Go to God in prayer. God bless you.
Does anybody not know that God is not limited by anything? All you have to do is ask Him. There is power. As the old song goes, wonder-working power in prayer. Now, I know there are some personalities that don't think prayer works. And technically, prayer doesn't work. But prayer moves God, who does work. He says, align your prayers. I know some scatterbrained people. They're praying about everything and this and that. But when we go to God, we ought to be serious enough to focus on what we want God to do in our lives. But not just our lives, in the lives of those we love and in the lives of this world. Because we don't live by ourselves. We live in communion with everybody else around us. And as I tell everybody, if you ain't got nothing to pray for yourself, pray for me. Because I always need help. There's someone out in this audience this morning that others have been praying for. They've been praying that they come to know the Lord Jesus the Christ for themselves. Is there one this morning who wants to stand up and say, I trust Jesus? The word has gone out. The word has been effective. The word reminds us that prayer is effective. I can remember when I was too stupid to pray for myself. But grandma's prayers, my mama's prayers, they brought me to this point today. Is there one this morning who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ for him or herself, you can come. Opportunity avails itself right now because someone is still praying for you, praying that you come to know the Lord Jesus the Christ.
Yes,
all you have to do is just get up, walk out, go to room number one across the hall. Someone would be waiting on you to guide you through this process. It's a mighty good thing to come to know the Lord. You see, the fact is, none of us have to walk alone. Everybody has the opportunity to have Jesus by your side. Everybody has the opportunity to have Jesus light the way for you. Your road don't have to be dark because Jesus is the light. All you have to do is come to the light. It's your time. It's your time.